Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Dr. Karen Cam Radio Show. The intention of this show is to empower and inspire you to manifest the life of your dreams, whether it's radiant health, prosperity, loving relationships, or simply peace of mind. Thank you so much for joining me. I'm your host, Dr. Karen Cam, author of the number one bestseller, Guide to Healing Chronic Pain, A Holistic Approach. And if you haven't gotten my book yet, you can get the first six chapters free at www.karencam.com. And today's topic is about EMFs. Or electromagnetic fields, one of the pet topics I love talking about, and you can ask any of my patients that I'm always bugging them about their EMF hygiene. We actually give them a handout the very first time they come to the office, and I explain to them that electromagnetic fields can be very harmful to their health, can stress the body, and prevent them from healing. And for those of you that have been following me for quite some time, you'll know that I'm really big on this thing I call brain balancing, and it's in Chapter 6. In the book, which you can get free, of course, as a download on my website, where you can test yourself whether you're brain balanced or not. In other words, are you in stress mode or in healing mode? And one of the major things I've found that for people that are not in healing mode and can't stay in healing mode is that they have electromagnetic radiation poisoning or how should we say, stress in their lives. And today's guest, which I know it's taken a lot to try to, you know, organize their schedules to get her on the show, but I'm so thrilled to have her on the show, is an expert in this area. Camille Reese, MBA, is the founder of electromagnetichealth.org, a leading U.S. education and advocacy organization focused on the effects of electromagnetic fields, as well as the head of the campaign for radiation-free schools. She co-authored Public Health SOS, The Shadow Side of the Wireless Revolution, and that book I have, and I have highlighted like most of it. She's also co-founded the International EMF Alliance in Oslo, Norway, and organized the 2010 Conference on EMF and Health at the Commonwealth Club of California, sponsored by Citizens for Health and the American Academy of Environmental Medicine. So, Camila, we are so thrilled to have you on the show. Thank you so much for spending your time with us today.
Well, it's a real pleasure to be here, and thank you for your interest in this very important public health issue.
Oh, yes. Well, you're right. It's absolutely very important. And, of course, as a medical doctor, we were not classically trained to really deal at all with this issue. We would just have patients with fibromyalgia or chronic fatigue syndrome or electrosensitivity, or they were hypersensitive to everything, so multiple sensitivity syndrome, which we, you know, in Western medicine, we really don't know what causes it. But definitely there's a lot of people out there extremely sensitive to EMFs, and I was one of them. And in fact, I could not sit in a room with someone with a cell phone without feeling sick. I mean, literally, they'd have to be like 10 feet away. You know, otherwise, I'd start feeling, you know, this pressure in my head and kind of a nauseous feeling and feeling drained, like someone just, you know, drained my battery. And I've since, you know, repaired a lot of that and healed a lot of that, so I'm much more resilient. But I still have pretty much every major electronic device, including my cell phones and wireless routers and everything. I have grounding type devices on them from various different companies that work for me. So, you know, I know this is a huge issue, and it's a huge issue for my patients. But we wanted to first know, how did you get into all of this? How did you become an expert in this area?
Well, you know, we don't always have total control over how our life evolves. You know, there's a certain fate. And I had a similar experience to you where I became sensitive to the radiation, not so much to the cell phone radiation as much as to the Wi-Fi routers. And when I realized that this neighbor's router in an apartment adjacent to mine was impacting me and actually was only a couple of inches away from my pillow on the other side of the wall, when I realized the extent of the harm that it was causing me, the difficulties I was having ranging from attention problems to sleeping, you know, tossing and turning, to cardiac abnormalities I'd never had before or since, or to skin problems, vision changes. When I dug into this and got to the bottom of it and I realized how much science there is showing an association with various biological changes, with DNA changes, with health conditions, it really was eye-opening, and I just could not focus on this for the sake of the rest of our species, really. So I became an activist, and Dr. Havas, and have been speaking all over the country and internationally as well on the topic, and educating doctors and governments and communities and patients.
Wow,
working
that is
with
fantastic.
Doctors like yourself, actually, and helping them to solve some of the chronic illness problems that their patients were having that weren't getting solved. Well, when you go into their home with a meter, it's pretty easy to find some of these problems. And, you know, you person with insomnia, well, you turn off the router, you turn off the portable phone, you don't leave the cell phone by the bedstand, and what do you know? The person gets dramatically better. So when you see a few of these things, you know, you can't help but want to help more people.
Oh, that's wonderful. And you sound like what I've been saying to some of my patients. I even said it in my book that I have a whole chapter on EMF hygiene and the problems. Now, of course, I'm associated with chronic pain, but really any issue, even if somebody's completely healthy, I know it does affect them in a negative way. And I quip in the book that I think we have a whole generation of postmenopausal women who can't sleep because of Wi-Fi. And I'm sure you see that on a daily basis.
Yeah, I mean, people of all ages, really, and maybe postmenopausal women are more vulnerable, maybe naturally to begin with, to sleep problems. But everybody, children as well, and elder, you know, much older people, it depletes the melatonin, and so you don't sleep as well, and you have disrupted sleep. And melatonin, as you know, is, you know, incredibly important for many reasons, and that's just one form of dysregulation, but it's dysregulating all of our bodies, whether we're having the symptoms or not. I think there's enough evidence now that we can say that the DNA effects are still occurring, the changes in the blood are occurring, the stress proteins, for example, are still being generated, whether or not you are symptomatic. So we feel that it's just a matter of time before a larger and larger percentage of the population starts to actually experience the electrosensitivity symptoms, and before we get to a point where there's almost no return, because we're talking about our DNA. And so this becomes a species issue. If the DNA is not able to properly repair itself, and if, in fact, as it's looking that DNA effects are happening at much lower power exposures, it's very, very serious, not only for human DNA, but also for the ecosystem and the wildlife and the plants, and everything is being affected. So we're degrading our biology, and we're choosing to degrade our biology, and we can choose not to. And individually, we got to start individually with ourselves and decide in your own life that you're going to choose not to, and you're going to create a pristine home environment, and especially the bedroom where your body needs to rest and repair. And first, you know, like they say in an airplane, you know, put your own oxygen mask on first. Well, that's what we need to do in our own lives to make sure that we're balanced and that we're not being constantly dysregulated, or at least if we are in the course of daily life going about where we do face exposures, when we come home at night, that we are in a pristine place where things can relax and rebalance. And that's like a minimum first step for everybody. Otherwise, you know, we're going to be subject to the many symptoms of electrosensitivity and beyond, and the health conditions that are increasingly associated, such as cancers.
Wow, yeah, very, very sound advice. Could you, you mentioned
nine
about
cancers
DNA.
Cancers now.
Nine cancers?
Oh, I was saying that nine cancers now associated with electromagnetic field exposure, well, actually with cell phone exposure. And then there's also a relatively recent review of the cell tower science by Dr. Henry Lai and Blake Levitt, that shows a very high percentage of the studies are showing adverse biological effects when you live within a certain radius of a cell tower as well.
Oh, really? So how far? in the study?
Well, the science that I have read on this looks like within a quarter mile, or about 1,500 feet, or in meters, about 300 to 400 meters, there is greatly increased incidence of cancer as well as the electrosensitivity symptoms. Now, you can't really generalize like this because every antenna is different. Every tower has a different number of antennas going in different directions, and they're different mediating factors that will make it less of an exposure, like if there's a hill in the way or if it's a high foliage area. There are many areas and things that will, you know, negate the effects as well. But so every case is individual, and that is why I recommend people buy a meter and find out, or every community at least should have a meter and find out what the levels are. And that's the only way to know. You can't know guessing. You know, it's just really measuring each individual situation.
Okay.
Including
you mentioned,
on the phone.
Right. You mentioned a meter. So what meter do you suggest people get? Is there a certain brand or type of meter?
Well, it's a little bit of a complicated subject when you start measuring radio frequency, radiation, microwaves. It's a little more difficult than just measuring a magnetic field, and the meters range. They can, you know, very high-priced meter that might be up in the thousands that would be admissible in a court of law. Then at the other end of the scale, there are meters for $200 to $500 that give you a number, but they're not as sensitive and they're not as reliable. But they're good for most people's purposes, which is to detect. To be able to say, oh, look, it goes to zero when I'm standing here, and over here, oh, look at this, it's up in the thousands. So it's, you know, if you're just looking as a means to assess the environment and figure out what to do to remediate and then remeasure, the lower price ones are just perfectly fine. And
I see.
So if you've
what
got a legal
of,
situation... You would want to bring in like a biologist and who's got one of the top, say the German meters, like the gigahertz solutions, or you know something like that, where that would be accepted as, you know, replicatable, reliable, that sort of thing. And the lower end meters are perfectly fine for raising awareness, educating people, and solving your own personal problem if in your environment if there's an EMF issue, a radio frequency issue, that is.
So there's a couple of, for example, the Trimeter is one of those inexpensive meters that has, it has a microwave setting, it has a high frequency, you know, electromagnetic field, and then the, you know, more sensitive one. How do people know, like, what setting to put it on if they're checking their home?
Well, the Tri-Field meter is a little bit problematic because it's very good at measuring magnetic fields, and it is in the manual. It will tell you that, however, that in the presence of high radio frequency fields, like if they're there too, you'll get inaccurate readings on the magnetic field readings. So, actually, New York Times several years ago did an article saying how bad the Priuses were, the Prius cars, because they had such high magnetic fields. But actually, if you use that meter and you measure the car in a low RF environment, you get the real reading for magnetic fields, and they're not that bad, except over the batteries. So so the radio frequency isn't part of that meter. It's really not that reliable, I've found, and others feel. So, you know, I believe you should get a don't try to get a combination meter. Get a meter for the field you're looking at. Like microwaves are part of the radio frequency band, and then magnetic field you use a Gauss meter for. Dirty electricity is another phenomenon where you get some high frequency transients on the wiring in a building or a home, and that is measured with something else. It's measured with a Stetzer meter. And then if you're looking to measure the impact of electric voltage, well, there are two things. One is something, this little gadget that electricians use that costs a couple bucks, and you can measure, see where the electric wires are in a wall because it beeps, this little machine, little thing beeps. And But then if you're looking to actually see the voltage on you, you need what's called a body voltage meter. And that has to be measured against the ground, and it's a little more complicated to understand. So there's no one-size-fits-all meter that does everything that you might be interested in knowing about. But, you know, so think of it in sections. So if you're going to look at, you know, electrical wiring issues and magnetic field issues, you know, focus on that. If you're going to look at the microwave issue from cell phones, routers, portable phones, wireless baby monitors, and neighborhood antennas, that sort of thing, well, then get a meter specific for that. And people can get them if they want it, emfsafetystore.com. And they're very well screened. I put that site together. And, you know, you can see the range. And you can also get paints there if you do have a problem and there's an antenna across the street and it's coming in through your walls or your windows. You can actually buy a kind of paint, carbon paint, that is grounded as well into the electric outlet to prevent the surface from becoming a plane for electric fields. But meanwhile, it shields out, it reflects away the radiation from across the street. And then there are also some films that you can get to put on your windows. If it's coming in through the windows, which it often does because glasses, it comes through very easily. Or my preference is not to use the plastic films because they have their own issues, but to use a very lightweight shielding fabric, like a white, almost looks like a very sheer linen or cotton curtain liner. And those can reflect it out as well, and they're very attractive.
Oh, so if you're reflecting, say there's a cell tower less than a quarter mile away, and we've measured, oh, wow, there's, you know, these fields coming through this particular wall. This is actually a friend of mine whose workplace is like that. They measure high fields on this one wall. You're saying that you could use the paint potentially to, you know, prevent some, reflect back some of that EMF as well as the curtain?
That's right. That's right. You can use paint, and you can use it on the inside of the building or the outside of the building. And it works quite well, but one really needs to understand what one's doing and measure afterwards to see what's happened. Because sometimes, like, unless you really completely insulate your space and put the paint everywhere, you might actually, by putting up paint in one direction to shield from the antenna, say over there, That creates a surface of reflection in your home as well for
right.
radiation coming from the other direction that then bounces off of that and could create a hot spot that you didn't even, you know, you wouldn't even realize is there, making things even worse. So one really needs to understand the way the radiation works, the way it flows around corners, and it and you need to understand the degree to which a really complete job is necessary, unless it's simply a very simple, straightforward thing where there's one antenna, there's radiation coming from one direction, but no other direction, and then you can just put up the paint, the fabrics. Sometimes if it's a router, I've done this on the other side of the wall from in an office or in a home, if the router is right there up against near the wall on the other side of the wall from you, it's very easy to go to Home Depot and buy a $20 piece of sheet metal and put it up against where that router is, and it reflects it right back at the other person who's generating it. And so, I mean, this happened to me. I had a neighbor in an office who I asked, would she mind using the Ethernet cord that the landlord provided in this office building so we all could have hardwired Internet connections. And she didn't want to. She thought she wanted to use her Wi-Fi. Thought there was something beneficial about that, even though, in fact, it's less secure, it's less reliable,
right.
and it also doesn't download as fast, and it's harder to work with video and so on, but she wanted to have her Wi-Fi, and I tried to reason with her that the hardwire is much faster connection and more secure. No, she didn't want to do it, so finally I said, well, you know what, I'm not going to be able to function with a router that close to my desk, and so I just want you to know, I said, I'm going to Home Depot, I'm going to buy one of these big pieces of sheet metal, and I'm going to be putting it there, and it will be reflecting back at you, making a lot worse for you. I'm warning you now in case you want to change your mind. Within 24 hours, she changed her mind, and she turned off the router. She didn't want to be reflected back at. So, you know, when people start to understand that you have a little bit of leverage here to, you know, reflect things back, hate to say it, but that's what it comes down to. People, you know, they don't want to take risks for themselves, so they'll listen more to that than they will to, you know, I'm sensitive to the radiation. Could you turn it off?
Wow. So if somebody had a router in there, you know, in, say, I usually tell them to put it, if they're going to use that, as far away as possible, would it help if they put up a sheet metal, like, against the wall, so, you know, so it wouldn't come through the wall?
Well, I mean, if,
or just reflect
all,
elsewhere
not,
in the house.
People really should not be using wireless routers, and if they do, they need to first of all get a plant light timer that you get at a hardware store for $4, and you put your router on a plant light timer. So you set it during the specify the hours that it will be on, and you make sure it's off all night long, and so you never have to think about it again. If you do that once, you set it up. And so you know at least you're going to get a good night's sleep. And that would just be an interim step before you figured out how to hardwire all your premises. I mean, there's no reason people need to use a computer or have an internet connection absolutely everywhere in a house or apartment. You know, you figure out where are the stations that I want to be doing my work on the computer, and where do I want to run the Ethernet cable. And it's very easy to do. You know, sometimes you have to drill a tiny hole through the floor to get to another floor, but, you know, it's worth it for your health, and you feel better, you have better attention, you're not as fatigued. I mean, you specialize in pain. I mean, a lot of people get aches and pains and muscle aches from being around too much radiation. They don't realize it. But, you know, I mean, I was just over at someone's house the other day, and you know, he's in a lot of pain. He's in a wheelchair, and aches and pains, doesn't sleep well. And I said, well, you got this router in your bedroom, mm-hmm. where his desk was. And so we turned off the router. We figured out how to hook his computer up with the Ethernet cord, but at the same time to disable the wireless part of the router by calling the manufacturer. And you do it electronically online. You put in the serial number, and you deactivate the wireless part of the router. Well, after one night, he slept like a baby and, you know, looked better. And so it can happen that quickly if you're used to being around these exposures in your home. So I really don't recommend wireless, and I recommend, you know, if you need to take a little – you know, a little time to switch over and to figure it out, well, then in the meantime, put it on a plant light timer so that you at least aren't exposed during the night and minimally otherwise during the day.
That's great advice. And I did notice a huge difference. I went to my parents' house and then my cousin's house one time, and I had never been exposed to wireless internet, at least at night, I mean, because we had it hardwired in our house. And I woke up in pain, like, wow, I have fibromyalgia again. What's going on? And I didn't figure it out until the second time. And I was like, oh, mm-hmm. wow. Because the meter that I had, which was the tri-field meter, did not measure that. I mean, I couldn't sense it anywhere, you know, with that particular meter.
The other thing to realize is that these meters, they're measuring only a component of the risk. They're only measuring the power density. Mm-hmm. And so the risk from this radiation is comprised of the power, like the strength of the energy moving mm-hmm. in your direction. It's also comprised of the frequencies, the undulating waves, okay, that mm-hmm. are biologically disruptive. And those waves can affect you whether or not there's high power or not. And so like a Wi-Fi router that might be several apartments away, you can see on your computer, oh, I can access, you know, 10 Wi-Fi routers blanketing my apartment, even though the router may be way far away. And you think, people naturally think, oh, well, there's a, you know, response effect. So the higher the exposure, the power, the worse the effects would be. Well, that's true, but there's another aspect to it also, which is that the lower the exposure, the more the power, that, you know, the greater the effect on certain parts of the body, especially the brain, where there's greater neuron death and greater blood-brain barrier permeability, the lower the power.
Oh, really?
So that's kind of
shocking.
It's called a paradoxical effect, and there's not enough really known about it. We know about the this exists, and we don't know about all the organs, and you know what? Nobody's really done thorough studying on this, but it's very significant because it sort of negates the argument that, well, you know, we're not near a power source and it's just very light in this area, enough for us to get on the computer. You know, that argument just doesn't hold water because the lower the power, it's affecting certain parts of your body and important parts of your body, as you know. Blood-brain barrier, for example, you know, which becomes more permeable. They think also that maybe the leaky gut that we've been talking about for 25 years, at most, no one had ever heard of it before, and now everyone seems to have this leaky gut. Well, that may be another permeability issue that's happening from the radiation, just like they know that it's happening, the blood-brain barrier and other junction barriers of the body. So you can't say, oh, well, I'm just going to have a little, you know, light exposure. That's going to be okay. It's just not the case. It's all bad, and it's all disruptive, and it's going to affect your productivity, your peacefulness, whether you're able to be at peace and concentrate and be present, or whether you're going to be agitated and irritable and have attention problems. You know, somewhere along that spectrum, the higher the EMF exposure, the worse those kind of symptoms get. And you can be very unpleasant to be around if you're constantly irritable because of electromagnetic field exposures.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And sometimes people look at lists of symptoms of different disorders. And, for example, you know, this friend of mine was told by one of her natural doctors, well, maybe you have MS. But then she looked at all the symptoms with electrosensitivity, and she says, I think I have electrosensitivity, not MS, you know, or maybe the two are connected. So she gets
right.
Numbness.
Well, I think that, absolutely. You can get numbness from, especially people probably feel it most in their hands from using a cell phone, you know.
Computer, laptop.
And numbness and tingling, and, you know, I really am concerned for what these people are going to be experiencing when they're old, in their old age. Because being around elderly people today, you just know naturally they have a harder time, you know, opening jars, and, you know, they get a little bit more crippled in their functioning and arthritic. And, well, what's going to happen to the people who started using a cell phone regularly in their hand starting when they were 8 years old?
Absolutely.
Yeah, really,
well,
really,
and some,
we don't know.
And well, some people argue that say, well, I don't really use my cell phone. They may have a smartphone. I don't really use my cell phone very much. I might text, but I always use the speaker. You know, I don't really put it up to my ear. So, you know, what do you say to those people who feel it's safer the way they're doing it?
Mm-hmm. Well, that's certainly better than putting it right up against your ear. Having any, putting your hand on the speakerphone, having a hardwired headset, for example, not a wireless Bluetooth one, those are all steps in the right direction. But the device itself is also emitting radiation, even when you're not using it, if it's on and you just have it in your pocket. You know,
right.
If you're a young woman and you want to have babies and normal babies, you know, and you're going to put that in your pocket right near your ovaries and, you know, like that just, or a man or a young man, there's so much evidence now for the fertility effects, the effects on sperm, and it's, you know, or somebody else puts it in their shirt pocket right above their heart and they wonder why they have, you know, atrial fit. You know, these things are, wherever you put it, there are some sort of unattractive holsters that they have for, you know, mostly for men that might want to have a cell phone on their, and those are sometimes designed with some radiation protection fabric on the body side of them, so that the worst of it is not being it going right into your body. But it still is. It's still all in that area, and it's, you know, it's still getting affected, but it minimizes a little bit. There's now something called a pocket patch, which people can get also at EMFSafetyStore.com. It's a iron-on shielding fabric that you put over your pocket, inside the pocket. And if somebody did have a cell phone on, they would be shielding themselves from the worst of it. But the way the radiation flows is it would flow then, a lot of it would reflect outward from that piece of pocket patch material. A lot of it would reflect outward, but some of it would spread to the edges of the pocket patch and go around the edges to your body. So it's not a perfect solution. You know, there are ways you can minimize it, but it's just, again, it's good to keep it in, keep it off your person, keep it in a bag. If you have to use it for emergencies, keep it off as much as you can, and when you have to leave it on, keep it in a bag. Don't keep it on your body or in your car. Put it on the other seat, you know, if you have to leave it on. But, you know, cars are one of the worst places to actually
Ray, I was going to mention that.
On.
All that metal reflecting all the radiation back.
That's right. Cars, trains, airplanes. Oh my goodness! When the plane lands and they say it's fine to use your cell phones now. That's just one of the worst places for people. Even the flight attendants ought to get involved in this one because it's a metal cage in there, except for those little windows, and it's bouncing all around, and everybody's using it at once. But so trains are bad, and what's also hard in trains and buses is that people are using their computers and they're using these boosters so that they can get a better signal to be able to access the internet, and those are just terrible. On an iPad, when you can turn on the hotspot, your personal hotspot, so your laptop can use the hotspot from your provided by the iPad. The numbers I've measured, they're just off the charts, terrible. So not something one should be sitting around all day using. If it's an emergency, that's one thing. But we really need to be minimizing our exposures to this radiation. It's not eliminating it completely.
I agree. For people who travel a lot, I've seen, I think, you know, your colleague Magda Havas had a YouTube video on some sort of reflective clothing. I would think if you were a pregnant woman, that would be even better. Can you tell us a little bit about that, whether you recommend that at all, any sort of this electromagnetic reflective fabric to wear?
Well, I absolutely do not recommend these things. And for the screen that I was describing, with if you were to use a shielding paint, you have to really be careful. If it's reflecting the radiation come from one direction, is it also coming from someone behind you, from some other direction? It's also going to bounce off of that shielded, you know, in the paint. So same thing applies with clothing. Because, you know, they have these, I've seen these shielding things that they recommend for pregnant women to put over their abdomen. Mm-hmm. And first of all they're going to do if they're shielding fabric to reflect the radio frequency radiation, that's going to do absolutely nothing to reflect the radiation coming from the computer's battery. And that is just as bad. And so they're deceiving people into thinking that it's actually having some reflective, you know, role. Well, it is, but it's only doing part of the job. And so you're encouraging a pregnant woman to put a laptop on their abdomen when you've still got the magnetic fields coming from the battery. That is a travesty. And then secondly, if it's a radio frequency shielding fabric and you've got it sort of over your... Well, what if you're in a room that has Wi-Fi? And the radiation's coming from behind you. Well, it goes right through your body, and it would hit that barrier and then reflect right back at the fetus. So I am absolutely not in favor of anybody using this kind of clothing unless it is something where that isn't blocking the flow of the energy. So if something were, say, I don't even want to go there, but like a tube structure that would where it would just be temporarily blocking a certain area, but the radiation could still flow through. That's one thing. But I just say don't mess with it. Do not do it. It's better to work on the premises that you're in most of the time, like your bedroom, your home, your office, if you can, and work on those physical structures, because we can know for sure what's happening with the meter, whether we're successfully shielded or not. You don't know what's happening when you put one of those pieces of fabric over your abdomen. If you're a pregnant woman, you're just trusting, and obviously the people making these things don't know what they're doing if they're not even addressing the magnetic field component or telling you about it.
Well, yeah, I was thinking, I don't have any of the clothing, but I was thinking if I just, dressed head to toe in one of these, outfits, a whole suit, then when I go into a plane, then all the Wi-Fi will bounce off me. That's what I was hoping.
Well, except that the energy dissipates. And so if your face isn't covered, right, or your hands,
mm-hmm.
And wherever it is on your body, it's going to get into your body, and it's going to bounce around in your body. So, like, some people have made these baseball cap type of things that have shielded material in it, thinking, okay, if you go through an airport, that's going to be helpful because your head won't be zapped. It'll be reflecting away from your head. Well, that's true, but you've still got it being absorbed into your body through your legs and spreading throughout your body, and what happens? It gets up to your head and it gets trapped. So it's having the worst. It's having the opposite effect. So it's that's why I say people need to understand the way the radiation flows. It's not just like a static thing. It moves, and it moves through your body, and you need to really understand that. So the only way to really do it is, I don't know if you saw the movie Full Signal, but in that movie, which is a great, hour-long documentary on this subject, there is a scientist from Scandinavia who was one of the early developers of this technology and considered one of the top scientists in Scandinavia still today. He and his team became so impaired by being around the radiation as they were when they were developing all this. Majority of them are completely disabled and can't go to work. He goes to work. He has to wear a moon suit. It looks like an astronaut suit that covers his entire body, head, and everything in order to go into the office. And he also has to sleep underneath a metal mesh tent at night. If he doesn't have that moon suit on and he's in modern-day life, the radiation is enough to completely, like, crash his immune system. He falls to the floor, can't stand up. And I had that happen to me once when I was in that apartment with the router next door, and I know what it's like to completely collapse. So, there is a way to do it if you want to walk around. I mean, I'd rather not live in a world where I'd have to dress like that,
Right. Wow.
Or live in a place where you'd have to sleep underneath a tent, a reflective tent. I would just rather live someplace else.
Well, I have understood from, reading the book Earthing and, some of the other, instructive videos online that if you're connected to Mother Earth with your skin, your bare skin, it kind of helps to get rid of some of that dirty EMF off your body. What's your experience with Earthing?
Well, okay, Earthing is a wonderful discovery that grounding is not a new concept, that when you touch the earth, the electric fields discharge into the earth and takes, that's not new in manufacturing today. They wear grounded shoes, they have grounded flooring. This has been known for a long time. But what the, and that's a great thing if you can take the burden of fields. Like think about when you're at a computer, all those electric fields you might be exposed to and, that's great to take that off your body, but it is only a partial solution. What the inventor of Earthing discovered was that not only is there the discharge effect, but there's also there's an equalization process going on of the energy in your body and the energy of the earth. And that subtle equalization process is enough to optimize the electrical functioning in your own body. And it's making people's bodies work better, sleep better, autoimmune problems going away, diabetic sores going away. I mean, like all kinds of things. The book is just an eye-opener, and it's one of the most important discoveries that in my lifetime, I believe. And there are about 15 published studies on it now. That being said, it does not negate, it does not work against the microwaves and the cell phones and the cell towers. It's working with the electric fields. The others are too high frequency, okay? So, there is research underway that I understand that is showing that there is a resiliency that you do attain from taking the effect of the electric fields off your body. You become a little more resilient to the other kinds of fields, you know, and so that's good.
Okay, that makes sense.
You know, with animals, you can look at the blood work and see what the effect of exposure is predictable, what the effects are going to be, say, from the lower frequency, like fields you would have at home from wiring and that sort of thing. Those are going to be negated by the grounding. And a lot of people who are electrically sensitive, when they ground on a regular basis, they sleep better because they're grounded. They feel better. And I believe there is some resiliency that you develop with makes you more able to. Like, I can sleep in hotels today without any problem. I have Wi-Fi.
Me too.
I could not do that before.
It's not
as good a night's sleep, but it's adequate, and it's so it's a good thing. There are some issues with it that people have raised that I don't think the jury is fully out on about whether it's better to ground through the ground port in your house, in your electric outlet, or whether it's better to ground outside. I mean, people, you know, just directly to the earth through a ground rod in the earth, or whether it matters at all. And then there are the issues of, what if the house had an electrical problem? Is there some way that you are protected? My understanding is that these grounding things are shielded, but the discussions go on, and I just say, read up on it yourself, see what you think, hear what other people are experiencing, and see what you think yourself. And I personally, I use earthing.
Oh, that's great. Well, our time is up, Camila. This has been wonderful having you on the show. Everybody, please go to both the websites, electromagnetichealth.org, as well as some of the products we talked about today. The EMFSafetyStore.com is another place that you can go get information. And you know that, Camila has reviewed these, so it's not some scammy thing that people are trying to sell online. And I wish I could talk to you for another hour. Camila, it's been awesome having you on the show, and I hope you'll come back in the future.
My pleasure.
All right.
My pleasure.
Thank you so much.
Very important topic.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
I agree. We'll make sure we blast that to everybody on our newsletter list and remind them of this very, very important radio show. Thank you so much, Camila, and thanks, everyone, for
Thank
listening
you.
In.
Thank you. Yep, bye-bye.
Bye for now.